you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, February 26, 2019. Wow, I'm looking at my calendar. Come Friday, it's going to be March 1st.
Oh, my.
Woo! And it's interesting. As our listeners know, on Tuesday, we read a chapter or two from Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, our very own. And when I say our very own, because we're staff members,
yeah.
We work together. Our very own. She's a part of this radio ministry. Our very own.
It's part of the woodwork here.
But it's interesting, the chapter is titled Where Inaction Ends.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it doesn't end here. We have so much action, so much going on. I laid out four different things here. We are the total opposite of inaction.
Yes, for sure.
Seems like there's not too many dull moments. In fact, I've laid out, like I said, three or four different things here. So let's see. I'll begin with the little announcement that's being sent out to anyone that's sent in a donation for the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm including this as kind of a way of an announcement, an FYI, to put this on their calendar. So we'll talk a little about some of these things coming up and then some of the other things that are going on, because we want our radio listeners to get involved, to be activated and engaged and blessed by the various events. But the first thing that I pointed out to everyone is our upcoming Memorization Mondays. If you've tuned in, you've heard us reading through the book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart.
I was so blessed by Dr. Webb's.
Oh, yeah. He was yesterday's special guest on John 1:1.
Yeah.
Last week, we had Bob Dickey. He was Genesis 1:1. Well, sneak preview for the next 3 weeks. Next week, we'll do John 1:14. That's the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. Well, that's going to be Pastor Herb Coates,
great.
Lord willing. And
uh-huh.
We're trying to work that all out. Everyone's schedule, everyone's busy.
Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
Yeah, Lord willing. And then the following Monday, it'll be John 3:16, and that's Reverend Harold Davis, Buddy Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to him. I hadn't talked to him in a while, and he had a stroke last year. He was up at one of the Moody conferences. I don't know if it was the pastor conference, but he wasn't feeling right. Got a little dizzy. His legs started feeling like he couldn't stand up, and called his wife, and his words were slurred.
Ooh.
And she said, get to a hospital right away.
Good for her.
And he had a stroke. And
wow.
He's excited to come in the following week. But
he's back in the saddle here.
Yeah, back in the saddle working. And then the following week, Romans 3:23 will be Pastor Bob Freeman, Reverend Freeman, who has the church right next door, First United.
Oh, yeah. That's where the Ivan Parker concert is.
Ivan Parker,
be. Yeah.
The Huntley Brown.
Oh, wow.
You know, so he's going to divide God's Word into the end of March. Yeah, and I have a dozen other guests scheduled
in
the coming days.
All these guests, I love
it. Yeah, so Memorization Monday. So this announcement says every upcoming Monday at 7:32 a.m. and 7:32 p.m., listen to special guests during Mark and Friends for Memorization Monday. So, yeah, Dr. Webb was great yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
I hope you were blessed by the Memorization Monday. As mentioned, we have a couple cases of books here. They're $10, and so you can pick up your copy and jump right in with us. We're just into our second week of memorizing one verse a week for the next 100 weeks or 98 weeks.
You can start now. You're not behind. You're never behind.
Never behind. Start any time. So that was that. Let's see. Those are the memorization future guests. Oh, yeah. Also on the announcement, it's a Saturday, March 9th, so that's just a couple weeks away, here at Lincoln Square at 3 p.m. The Home and Garden Show is going to be here. It's going to be here all day long, but the Singing Men of GNN, joined by the Great News Radio Children's Choir, at 3 p.m. will be singing some God-honoring songs, so it's a free event. March 9th goes from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., but the Singing Men of GNN and the Great News Radio Children's Choir will be presenting at 3 p.m., but wait, there's more. Our good friend Ron Bailey at Blossom Basket, he's going to provide, we don't have an exact number, but at least 100, maybe 200 long stem roses will be given giving those out to people right after we sing.
That
so we'll send
so
the children
cool
out.
That was so cool when that happened before. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so Ron's going to come up with long-stem roses for at least 100 or 150 or so of you, and those will be given out after we sing, probably around 3:30, 3:45. So.
That's so generous of them.
Yeah, he's a great guy, a great believer. You may have remembered that interview. Mm-hmm. I don't know, a year or two back, he and his wife were here in the studio. Just appreciate his ministry work through the Blossom Basket. He touches so many lives, and will be given out, provided by him, long stem roses. Maybe we'll have the children go into the audience or the singing men. We'll be in our tuxedos, so it'll be a great event. And then on Saturday, March 30th, at the I Hotel, the children will be singing at the Youth Literature Festival. It's a free event. It's at the I Hotel. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And just before noon, the children will sing a number of songs.
That's great.
And it's a great event. They'll have authors reading their books and everything about youth literature. It's a festival, so there'll be, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 different vendors, people representing book companies and authors, and there'll be interactive games and activities for all the children.
That Vivian that came by and told us about this was so nice.
She came by again on Saturday here and gave me a handful of brochures. Some are on our rack
right
in front of the center here, and some I've mailed out, and the parents are all excited to get their kids there.
Good.
So that's Saturday, March 30th. The children will be singing around 11:45 to about noon or 12:15, a 20-minute or so window at the I Hotel is from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then on Sunday, April 7th, coming up, next door to us at the First United Methodist Church here in Urbana, Huntley Brown's coming to town.
And he's great.
Joined by the singing men of GNN. Yeah, we had a great concert last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's so talented
he's
and
so
gifted
dynamic.
On the piano. Yeah, and he has that, I think he's from the Bahamas, hey, everybody, let's praise the Lord. Has great voice,
it
great guy.
It sounds kind of like that.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, sorry if you're from the Bahamas, but he's got a great voice. He's got a great personality, loves the Lord, been a part of the Billy Graham Crusades, and have sung all over the world, and so it'll be fun to have him back. And there will be, if you want to have up front, close, artist circle seating with a special meet and greet with Huntley Brown, $25. Otherwise, there will be a free will offering for general open seating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be assured seating up front, close, and the meet and greet, then $25 in advance. And we'll have that website up and running in the coming days where you can get tickets in advance. You'll get a little wristband, and then we'll know to sit you up front, and then you can visit with Huntley Brown. We'll have some snacks there.
It doesn't mean you're going to the hospital.
Yeah,
with
that's
the wristband.
Right. Yeah,
you just sit up front.
Yeah, you sit up front. Then Saturday, Sunday, May 18th and 19th, it's a road trip to Christ Church of Oak Brook. That's going to include an overnight motor coach. The singing men of GNN will be presenting at a retirement facility in and around the Oak Brook area. We'll do that on Saturday night, May 18th. And then we're working on hotel accommodations. Then on Sunday at 3 p.m., we'll be singing at Christ Church with three other men's choirs.
Oh, that's going to be powerful.
So it's Freedom Patriotic Tribute. And
I like the title. Instead of Let Freedom Ring, they kind of done a play on that.
Yeah,
Let Freedom Sing.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And three other men's choirs. One, the Singing Men of Hinsdale, I think the Singing Men of Oak Brook, and then another group from Indiana that's going to be in. I'll have a flyer in the next couple of days about that. But we invite some of you to join us. We're still working out how much the expenses with the motor coach and overnight stay, and then what people can do. Maybe they can go to Oak Brook Shopping Center and how we'll work that all together. But yeah, Let Freedom Sing. It's a tribute concert by four different men's choirs. That's Saturday and Sunday, May 18th and 19th. And then we'll be singing at Christ Church of Oak Brook, which hosts, I think, 2,000 to 3,000 people.
Wow.
So we're expecting a really good turnout of people locally.
Drive up?
Yeah, people can drive up. It's about a 2.5-hour drive. That's the church that I attended from kindergarten through high school and into college group. I went to Crusaders, Koinonia, Conquerors, College Group. Reverend DeCroyder was the pastor all those years when I attended.
Is he still the pastor?
No, he's with the Lord now.
He's not 120.
He'd have to be at least
I'm sorry,
that,
I didn't mean to give away your age.
Yeah, But, that's the church I grew up
in.
And
that's really
so
neat.
So it's going to be fun to return there and sing. And I have some friends up in Oak Brook that will be coming out for that concert.
Oh,
so.
Come on up, people. That's
fun. That'll be a fun one. And then Saturday, June 8th, besides some of the other things that we have going on in the future.
You're skipping things, but go ahead.
But Ivan Parker's coming to town, 7 p.m. for a concert right next door again at the First United Methodist Church. And we'll do the same thing as with the Huntley Brown concert. If you want up front and close, reserved artist circle seating, it's $25 per ticket, which also includes a meet and greet. And Ivan's such a great host.
You'll get
to take a picture with him and talk with him, and we'll have some food and such in a special room.
He is so generous with his personhood. When he was here, he's just talking
timing,
to people,
hugging them,
taking pictures.
Yep, he'll invest some time and talk. And he's a great entertainer, but much more. He's God honoring, and he sings for the Lord's glory.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be something that you can plan for. $25 special artist circle seating, and we'll have a link online in the coming days.
Mm-hmm.
But put it on your calendar, Saturday, June 8th. And then the Singing Men of GNN, as the same with Huntley Brown, will join Ivan for a few songs together, and then we'll present 6 or 8 selections or so, and that'll be a great activity. It'll also be free. We'll offer in general open seating, but again, if you want that artist circle, the meet and greet, and to have it reserved, so if you're running a little late, you just show up and you know there's a great seat for you right up front, and get those tickets in advance. So those are just a few things. There's a lot more about that we're working on. In fact, and I think tomorrow, our March edition of the Prime Life Times arrives, so we'll be getting those out in all the areas, the almost 250 different locations. And we've been working with a lot of new advertisers, people really interested in our ever-growing Prime Life Times. In fact, as I was cleaning some of the studio here, it's like you walked in, I think, was it on Friday or something? You're like, where am I?
Where is everything?
Everything,
Where's our stuff?
Yeah, we moved stuff around, put them in boxes. But I was going through some old editions of the Prime Life Times that are like, I guess, almost 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was down to like 16 or 14 pages. So we more than doubled.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few editions. I was like, wow, there's only 14 pages here.
Well, our July edition last year was
32.
Now we're 24, 28, right in there.
Yeah, but I saw some that was as little as 12 pages. And I was like, wow. So, we've definitely doubled and increasing distribution and having a lot of people engaged and informed and loving the content.
Sunday when I was at church, this lady came up and she was talking to one of my nieces, and she starts saying, "Your name, I recognize that from the paper. You must be involved." And my niece kind of looked over at me. She laughed. She goes, "It's not me," but she's
and she's referring to a little involved, like up to my eyeballs.
It was funny, but she was just saying to her offhand how much she loved the paper. She said she reads it. She gains so much. So I love hearing stuff like that.
Yeah, the Prime Life Times paper. You can read it online at primelifetimes.com, but you can pick up your own edition where you can touch it and look at it. And it's you can stop by and pick one up right here at the Great News Radio Center. We have them all over Lincoln Square here.
Yeah, we do.
And we also have people that subscribe, and we send it out each and every month. In fact, tomorrow, as they arrive, putting them in envelopes and sending them out. We have a number of people that subscribe to it, and you can find out all about that at the website, primelifetimes.com. But it's $30, and that just covers basically the postage and handling to send it out.
I just suddenly realized, how are we going to keep our beautiful, clean everything with the paper strewn all out in the envelopes and the mailing?
take a picture right now of how clean and organized it is.
Yeah, I'm going to take a picture.
Knowing that tomorrow it'll be
I'm going to take a picture. We're going to go right back to this.
All right. So chapter 42, Memories of an African Son. Let's see, you have 60 chapters in this book, so we still have a few more months to read it, but this is Where Inaction Ends.
Okay. Where Inaction Ends. Alice Harris changed history. In 1904, Alice Harris was a missionary in Baringa, in the Congo. British missionaries, she and her husband, John, had been living in that remote area for just a short time, when one evening, Alice heard an unexpected knock at the door. With that knock, her world was irrevocably changed. A Congolese man had made his way, in anguish, to the missionary's door to show them what was in the bundle of leaves he clutched with tears to his chest. the severed foot and hand of a small child. The man had failed to meet his weekly rubber quota for the fraudulent and merciless King Leopold II of Belgium. And Leopold's hatchet men had chopped off the hand and foot of his beloved daughter in retribution. Outraged, heartbroken, and trembling with shock, Alice and John ushered the man inside and heard the unbelievable story. There were no words for the horror. Alice, an amateur photographer, insisted a picture be taken of the atrocity, that the evidence of this hideous action be documented. John and Alice dropped everything, and from that moment, pushed themselves mercilessly, photography equipment in tow, traveling thousands of miles through the Congo River Basin by water and land, over makeshift bridges and through mosquito-infested jungle and grasslands, documenting what they had discovered. Picture after picture captured the images of the brutality, recording in black and white the undeniable truth of King Leopold's Congo. Leopold had originally presented himself as a philanthropist to the people of the Congo and disguised his efforts and purposes by saying he would save them from the Arab slave trade. First, he ventured into the sickening ivory business with its destruction of thousands of elephants. But then something even more lucrative entered his world. Uses for rubber from the milky sap of the rubber tree had begun to fuel the Industrial Revolution. Gaskets, valves, seals, and tires were revolutionizing the modern world. Leopold and his emissaries signed hundreds of false treaties with African chiefs, some of whom rose against him in war when they saw who and what he really was. Meanwhile, his control over vast areas of the Congo was becoming more and more complete as his rubber and ivory empire grew more ruthless. Alice and John boarded a ship to England and once there showed the pictures of what they'd seen. Shockwaves spread across Europe like a wildfire. One of the greatest hidden atrocities of the last century had finally come to irrefutable light, and movement after movement gained traction throughout Europe as people everywhere sought to end the evil. Many scholars maintain that this movement, which grew to international proportions, was the forerunner of all the large human rights movements in the modern era.
And what year was this? Around what year was this?
1904. I think they probably spent a year photographing.
Okay. King
I'm not sure.
Leopold II of Belgium. So around the early
1900s. Yeah. Okay. Edmund Morrell, a shipping clerk working in Antwerp, had also been trying to get the word out. The clerk had uncovered huge shipments of chains and guns going to the Congo and began writing articles in a Belgian journal when he saw only ivory and rubber returning to port. Two missionaries from Virginia, William Morrison and William Shepherd, the first black missionary to the Congo, spoke out loudly and were put on trial inside the Congo itself by Leopold's colonial force. Swedish and Scottish missionaries in the Congo made their way back to Europe at their own risk to offer scathing eyewitness accounts of what they had seen. William Cadbury, the Cadbury chocolate millionaire and Quaker, provided large financial backing to the movements to end the unspeakable forced labor of the Congo. Booker T. Washington joined the fray. The famous author Mark Twain, already a staunch foe of imperialism, was furious at the news from the Congo and wrote widely read, stinging words about it. But it was Alice Harris's pictures that traversed Europe and provided the irrefutable evidence. King Leopold II was deposed, losing his throne and all of his holding in the Belgian Congo, and was seen as a shamed man throughout Europe. In 1904, one woman, living in a remote area of Central Africa, took one look at something in front of her and knew she must act. Her values were clear, and her immediate action ultimately brought down a king. What we value matters. There is a right, there is a wrong, and there is a vast difference between the two. Our world today wants us to think that values are simply shades of gray. But sometimes there is no gray at all. Alice Harris knew this. There was no gray in the severed hand and foot of a small child. Mm. In this world of so-called gray, we risk becoming deceived as to our own power and impact. What can one person do about the modern slave trade? About the suffering children in sweatshops making trinkets? About the other atrocities? We can do what Alice Harris did. We can do the one single thing, the thing that is right in front of us, whatever that is. Even if it's as simple as writing a letter or speaking out for the human rights of others, pouring our money into helping those who are in trouble or refusing to buy meat from the place that tortures and abuses animals. It's easy to dismiss what we could actually do when it's not convenient for us or doesn't seem like enough. But it's only when we do the one thing right in front of us, no matter how small or large, that we carry empowerment. Our action may not end up making the difference we had hoped, but it will certainly make a difference of some sort, and that's what counts. Alice Harris could not have known whether her pictures would matter, but she valiantly and wholeheartedly traversed the Congo River Basin and took the action in front of her. Because it mattered to her. Mm. What we value matters. Many years ago, my sister-in-law shared with me a scripture that had been meaningful to her and to my brother Jim. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Mm. James 4:17. That scripture has stuck with me over the years. I think of it quite often. It's a very personal scripture. It says that when a person is aware of what matters, what is right, and doesn't take action for that person, it is sin. It always makes me ask the same question. What thing in front of me do I know is right to do, the right action for me to take? What matters to me? So I'll ask you the same question. What matters to you? Mm. Father, forgive me for the numerous times I've taken no action. When I have used not knowing what to do as an excuse to do nothing. When I've thought my actions too insignificant to matter and chose inaction instead. Forgive me for not fully reckoning that my actions, whether known or unknown, do matter. That my action may be the one that opens the eyes of countless people, or of a few people, or of no one at all. Only seen by you. Forgive me for inaction. Forgive me for selfishness. In Jesus' name, the one who bought that forgiveness for me.
Where inaction ends. That's a heavy chapter, a thought-provoking chapter, a heartbreaking chapter. Oh, and a lot could be said about it. We're out of time.
What a woman.
What a woman. And she took action.
She did.
Took action. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.